Let's look together at Malachi chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 6, read through verse 12. Malachi chapter 3, begin with me in verse 6, read through verse 12. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. I didn't plan last week's financial crisis in this country, nor did I plan to preach this sermon because of what took place in this previous week. But you did. Thank you for being so concerned with us that your word speaks loudly and clearly to where we are even right now. Holy Spirit, you have already prepared us even this week to hear your word. Would you prepare us to receive it? And would you strengthen us to live it? Teach us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This seems a little bit loud, Damien. I don't know if there's something you can adjust or it seems like it's vibrating a little bit. Last night I got to see it again. I saw faithfulness on display. I attended Jim and Kathy's 50th wedding anniversary celebration. 50 years of faithfulness to each other. I'm sure they've had their bumps and bruises. I'm also sure that they're still together after 50 years. That's a picture of faithfulness. But can I tell you that it's just a drop in the bucket compared to the faithfulness of your God? That's how he begins this passage. He says, I don't change. Now, I know you think you know what this passage is about, and I know you've probably heard passage or sermons on this particular passage. Maybe you've read it for yourself, and I think we have an understanding of what it's about. So what does that opening statement have to do with what God's about to say about money? He says, I am faithful. I don't change. I'm the same. I am unchanged. He drives a stake in the ground, and right here he says, this is solid, this is firm, this is secure. I don't change. Don't miss that with the rest of the passage, because I'm convinced if you miss what God is saying in this verse, you will miss the rest of the text. He is making a statement about himself that he does not change. And yet there seems to be some sort of divide between God and his people. And I think God is saying to us, his people, if that is true, it is you who have changed, not me. You guys haven't done what I've told you to do. You've abandoned my decrees. But see, I think these people were caught off guard. They really didn't get it. I think they thought everything was fine with God, and God comes to them in Malachi, and he begins to say some things to them that are hard to hear and that aren't right with them. And so their natural question is, well, how are we to return? I think they don't think anything's wrong. And when they ask the question, how do we return? God in turn asks the question, and he says to them, verse 8, will a man rob God? I want to talk about robbing God for a moment. I want you to picture yourself with gun in hand, pointed at the back of God, robbing him. That's the picture here. You're taking something of his. And there are three observations I want to give you. The first is this. You can jot this down. For those of you who don't know, there's a sheet in the narthex when you come in you can grab that you can take sermon notes on. First observation I want you to know about robbing God. You can't rob God if it isn't his. I mean, how can I take something from you and rob you if it isn't yours? You can't rob from God if it isn't his. So what's your point, Carl? My point is, it's all his. Turn with me back to the book of Psalms for a moment. Keep your finger in Malachi and just go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24. Okay, I feel like you're either overwhelmed from this past week events or you stayed up too late last night. Which is it? Psalm 24. What does the psalmist say? The psalmist says the earth is the Lord's and what? Everything in it. The world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Go to Psalm 50. If you missed it in Psalm 24, you can catch it in Psalm 50, beginning in verse 9. Psalm 50, beginning in verse 9. With regards to the sacrifices of his children, I have no need, Psalm 50, verse 9, of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. It's all his. Scripture repeats that idea. You can't rob God unless it belongs to him. I'm here to tell you it does belong to him. Your stuff, your retirement account that used to be there, everything that you have is his. Your life is his. He created you. You didn't dream yourself up. God created you. I heard of a football player this week who was mad at his parents because they weren't taller than they were. And he wanted to be taller. Well, he didn't dream his parents up. God made him that way. God created you and God endows you with life and he can take it away anytime he wants. Bill Cosby used to say that on his show to his children. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. God can say that. You are his. It's all his. Let me help you understand another point. When it comes to your stuff and everything that you have, including your retirement account, listen to the words of Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. Acts 17, 24 and 25 say, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. You can't rob God if it's not his. It is his. It's all his. And he doesn't need any of it. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your time. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't even, I'm so sorry, need your life. Boy, that hurts, doesn't it? Here's the great news. In his sovereign grace, he decided to make your life and to share his glory with you and to entrust you with the wealthiest nation in this world. You can't rob God if it isn't his. Now, if you weren't already sober, it's all his. He doesn't need it. Can I let you know something else? I don't want God to hear me, so listen closely. He can get it anytime he wants. The economic crisis that we were in last week was just one small reminder. He can get all our stuff anytime he wants. I can't take any of it with me out of this world. It's at his disposal. My stuff, my money, my life. And some of you know this very well. You can't rob God, unless it's his. And it is. It is his. O.J. Simpson, some of you are familiar with him. I want you to hear a quote from his lawyer. Just a week or so ago, his lawyer told jurors that the former football star's effort to get items back from two sports memorabilia dealers was a mistake, not a crime, saying that being stupid and being frustrated is not being a crook. See, Simpson claims that the dealers had property that had been stolen from him. It was his, so it wasn't really stealing. I'm not sure why he needed guns, but he said it wasn't stealing because it was his stuff. If it's your money, then how dare God say, "You're robbing me"? You can't rob God unless it's his. And so one of the things that I want you to see is this idea that we've got the wrong premise. At least some in our culture have the wrong premise. None of us would think like that, right? That it's mine. My very life is his. I told you three observations. One is you can't rob God if it isn't his. Second of all, you won't rob God if you think more of God than you think of your money. You won't rob God if you think more of God than you think of your money. I think there's a message in our contemporary culture. I think there's a message that's being illustrated. It's truth. Your money can't take care of you. But we can touch it. We can watch it grow. We get nervous when we watch it decline. And there is a tremendous danger that we place our faith in, security in, personal being wrapped up in money. Your money can't take care of you. God can. Peter tells us, casting our care on him because he cares for us. Now, God does, God can use money. In fact, he can pull money out of fishes' mouths to take care of his children. Money's not an issue with God. He has all of it that he desires. He can do with it as he pleases. But you and I need to make clear delineation between God and money. They're two radically different things. Money can't use or manipulate God. And you can't serve both. Matthew makes that real clear in Matthew 6:24. Either you will serve one and hate the other, or you'll serve this one and hate that one. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have tried? I love God, but you know, money's kind of pretty cool too, and you can have both. You will serve one of them. You may not be clear as to which one, but you can't serve both of them. You ever work for two bosses? I tried that once when I was in college. That was a great job. Lasted a whole week. That doesn't work. You quickly decide which one is really the boss and which one's not. And that's Matthew's point. You won't rob God if you think more of God than you think of your money. I mean, let's just put this on the bottom shelf where we can all reach it. Let's stop playing games. Let's stop calling things what they aren't. Let's start calling things what they are. And either I love God all or not. And either my money is a tool to bring glory to Him that He's placed in my hands for His service, or else money's my God and I will use God to manipulate my money. So which is it? You won't rob God if you think more of God than you think of your money. You can't rob God if it isn't His. And third observation I want to make is, you wouldn't want to rob God if you understood who He is. You wouldn't want to rob God if you understood who He is. He began this book in the first chapter in the second verse, and He told His children that He loved them. I want you to put that into perspective, that the God of the universe who made the clouds out there that you can see, the trees that are growing, He made all of that, the leaves that will be turning colors, He made all of that. And He individually knows you by name, and He loves you. I think we're probably a little bit like these people to whom Malachi wrote when they responded, "Well, how have you loved us?" We're maybe not quite so bold as to ask God such a question, but in our minds, sometimes when things don't go as we think they should, we look at God and say, "How do you love us? I don't see it. I don't feel like that. I have a hard time believing that. I know that your word says that." But I want God to help you understand that. That His love for you is eternal and immeasurable, based nothing on you, based completely on Him. He loves you because of who He is, not because of who you are. And He doesn't change. That's what He said here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I don't change. That's what He says in Hebrews chapter 13, that He doesn't change. He is faithful. So when things seem to be spinning out of control, I want to point to the stake once again that He started this section with in verse 6. And I want you to come touch the stake. I want you to see that He hasn't moved. I want you to see that He's not any different than He was a week ago, or a month ago, or a year ago, or a decade ago, or a century ago, or a millennium ago, or an eternity ago. He's still the same. And I confess that when my world gets shaken and stirred, I look around and I go, God, what is happening? And I think that his message today is, look at the stake. I haven't changed. I'm not pointing at the money. God hasn't changed. If I pointed at that money, the value of that dollar in that plate has. But he hasn't. And you need to know that. You wouldn't want to rob God if you understood who he is. He doesn't change. He is faithful. And he had you in mind when he made the rules. Think about that. Did God need the rules? He had to kind of protect himself. Oh, would you give me a break? He's God. He knew for your benefit and mine that he needed to make some rules, and he did. God hasn't changed. If you understood who he is, you wouldn't want to rob him. We did an animal rescue this week. Miss Elaine told me that she had some unwelcome guests in her garage. So she put out one of those mouse sticky pads. Have you seen them? Don't step in one. You will never get out. It is a thick gel. Unbeknownst to this sweet little snake, the sticky pad was in his path. And when I arrived at Miss Elaine's house to save the day, this little rat snake was so entwined that his bottom jaw was stuck to the pad. He could lift the top, but the bottom wasn't going anywhere. So we graciously took him home, to my wife's dismay. And Jesse and I did surgery. We'll be taking orders next week, where we surgically removed this snake from the pad. And now he's free, mostly. He's still a little bit sticky, and sometimes he sticks to himself. It's kind of funny. And we're hoping that he'll shed after a while, and then he'll be free. But once we got him loose from this thing, he was just kind of limp like a dish rag. You know, just sweet as he could be. And after a while, he just kind of came to life, like, I can move again. This is awesome. And then I reached down into the sink. I don't know if you know about snakes, but snakes will rattle their tails. Only they don't have rattles. He's a rat snake, so he doesn't have rattles. And they do that when they get scared or upset or mad. And so he's rattling his tail at me. And I explained to him, dude, I rescued you. I surgically removed you from a mouse pad. I mean, how degrading is that for a rat snake? And now he's rattling his tail at me. Have you lost your mind? And I thought about that. And I thought about these people in Malachi, and thankfully we're nothing like them. And I look at us rattling our fingers at God. And God says, do you know who I am? Do you know how faithful I am? Do you know that I rescued you? Not when your life was half gone. It was out. You were dead at the bottom of the river, and I resurrected you from the dead. I breathed life into you that you might believe in Jesus Christ. If I didn't, you would spend eternity in hell. And I hear the questions about tithing. Should I tie the net? Should I? Forget that stuff for a moment and ask yourself, who is it that you're giving to? You can't rob God if it isn't his. It's all his. And my contention is that you don't just give him a tenth. He starts there. You give him a tenth so that you make sure that you're honoring him and not your money. And then you take the 90% and you open your hands and you say, God, here it is. Do with it as you will. Please, I love you that much. You will take care of me, not this 90%. So what I want you to do, I want you to know that God is faithful. Okay, just mark that down. That's where he begins, and that's what you need to understand, or you won't give him a dime. And you will be sadly mistaken. Know that God is faithful. Say, Carl, have you watched this week? Yes, I have. Well, what about? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. He does. And he promises that he will take care of you. And we have better opportunity now to see him do that than we've ever seen before. You guys evidently are understanding who he is. In one of the worst economic years we've ever had, we have had the greatest in terms of giving ever in the history of Faith Church. What's wrong with you people? I think you're understanding who he is. I think you're understanding that it's his. I think you're thinking more of your God than you are your money. And so my challenge to you is to give to God cheerfully. Give to him. Don't let the economic situation dictate what you do with your money. Let the God who's above the economic situation dictate what you do with his money. Let him provide. And ask him what to do with it. Give to him. Start with that tenth. And say, God, here, it's yours. Do with it as you will. I want to honor you because the only reason I have anything in my pocket is because you put it there. You gave me the opportunity. You gave me the ability. And I want to honor you as God. I want you first place. Give to God cheerfully, hilariously, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And if you're not, coming to him and giving to him with a cheerful heart, my call is to repent. That's the word. That's the idea in Malachi 3. Turn around. Return to me. Come back. And I would just challenge you, if that's not your practice, you'd talk that over with God. But you need to stop what you're doing and you need to turn to him and you need to say, God, here, I want to give to you. Know that God is faithful. Know that your money ain't. Give to him. And if you're not, repent. I want to close with two quotes. One of them came from J.D. Rockefeller, and he said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. Second quote comes from J.L. Kraft from Kraft Cheese. He gave approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years, and he said, quote, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. Can't rob God if it ain't his. You won't rob God if you think more of God than you think of your money. You wouldn't even want to rob God, that is, if you understood who he is. Pray with me. Father, for your word, thank you. We're convicted and challenged, and I think probably we all have some thinking and business to do with you. Would you govern our thoughts according to your word? There are no magic wands, God. There are a lot of tough questions in our culture today. We still have responsibility to invest what you have given to us, to care for our families, to care for our church family. God, we need your wisdom to know how to best do that. We don't know how, and money certainly won't save the day. You will. You will take care of us, your sheep. You promise to. God, may we see your incredible faithfulness in new ways. We've grown sloppy and lazy depending upon our investments, I think, or at least the temptation has been to do so. Now that that temptation has been challenged, we have new opportunity to see you be faithful. God, we are yours, all of us, not just part, all. You own us. Thank you for loving us. Help us to think more of you than we do of our money. God, help us to understand who you are, faithful, loving, unchangeable. And then, Lord, help us to be those who give to you, not because you need it, but because we do. Thank you for Faith Church, God. Thank you for the way these people give to you. Give our diaconate, our session, our church body wisdom to use every dime in a way that pleases you, honors you, brings glory to your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
To me, and I will return to you. And may this song not just be a reflection of our thoughts today, but a prayer from our hearts.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, Jesus.
And I would encourage you, if that's what God has convicted your heart to do, to give to Him, and you need to do it, these offering plates will be here. That's between you and God. Give to Him. Bow with me as we hear God's word for our benediction. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail.